Well, welcome to the situation report for November 13th. A little Alice in Chains, Man in the Box, probably appropriate song for today. Let me just start out by saying everybody needs to take a deep breath or a bong hit, whatever helps you relax. Because Trump's going to pick his cabinet, whether you like it or not. And good chance that most of them won't serve the entire term, because that's how it rolls with Trump. So why not just sit back, see who he puts in office, and then see what they do? Because it's one thing to be nominated, it's another thing to get confirmed. So, you know, So first of all, I need to set the context for the whole show. I just spent the last 8 hours in a meeting reviewing policy with window lickers. So what do you think the odds are that I'm in the mood to sit around and analyze each one of Trump's cabinet picks? I'm not. Why? Because he's going to pick who he picks. But here's my theory on Trump's picks. First of all, he's picking younger people. I think he's setting up for post-Trump, which has been the problem since Trump came on the scene in 2016. What do you do after him? So he's putting good people in place that are loyal to the Constitution. And his choice for SecDef, warrior. His choice for DNI, warrior. His choice for AG, warrior. So let it play out. See what they do. See if they actually take office, and then see what they do in office. But I can tell you, Hegseth is a good choice. Why do I say that? Because he's a warrior. He's loyal to the Constitution. He's a DC outsider. He doesn't play in the game. And he's putting people in positions, from what I can tell, that looks like he's going to put people in there going to do things. So no matter who he picks, he's going to pick him anyway. So just sit back and see where it goes. I mean, not even 1 hour in to him announcing Matt Gaetz for AG, and the world blows up. He's a pedophile. He was texting with 14-year-olds. Wasn't that debunked? Didn't he go on national TV and say this was all BS? I mean, none of the rest of them have. Most of them are hiding from justice because they are pedophiles. But, you know, the truth of the matter is nobody really knows what the ground truth is. And the only thing that we're going to be able to judge is what they do. Not what they say, not what their background is, what they do. So watch what they do and stop worrying about who it is. And, you know, to be honest with you, this is going to be probably too little too late, because you remember the bankers, they get a play in this too. And if they crash the economy, then Trump's going to have his handful with that. If they start a war before he goes into office, he's going to have his hands full with that. If they create civil disorder here, then guess what? He's going to have his hands full with that. He's going to have enough on his plate. They're already setting conditions so that he's going to be wrapped up like he was last time. But look, at the end of the day, I'm okay with who he's picked, because we'll see if they're true to, you know, they're true to the country. I know Matt Gaetz wants to go after the FBI. And notice he hasn't picked the FBI director yet. My guess is he's probably saving Kash Patel for the FBI director. That would be epic. And I'll just go out and say, I've already told people close to Kash Patel that whatever position he takes, I will go and help him. I don't care what the role is. I'll go help the guy. And if it's the FBI, oh, give me a field office. Just give me one field office, please. Just one. Give me the Arizona field office. I will set that on fire. That would be epic. And literally, I will go down to the janitor. What would you say you do here? Name the last big criminal that you arrested. Tell me how many DEI, or better yet, pride documents you've authored in the last 12 months. Oh, that would be glorious to walk people out. Glorious. And then there's the question of, well, if Matt Gaetz goes after the FBI and guts the FBI, and then Hegseth goes after DOD and guts DOD and guts all of the general officers, and then Chris Miller comes back in some way, shape, or form to assist in that project, and then they set up military tribunals to go after the general officers that have committed treason, you know, Milley, Austin, Brown, the rest of the CJCS, then that would be a good place for Kash Patel, wouldn't it? I mean, he's a federal prosecutor. He knows how to prosecute. And then you bring in, say, I don't know, Clarence Thomas to oversee the tribunals. Sounds like they could set up to arrest and prosecute a couple of former presidents. They could also set up mass trials and try entire groups of people all at one time. Sure sounds like that's what he's putting in place. Sure sounds like, you know, there's a lot of different plays that are going on right now. We don't know what it's going to look like. And look, I'm hopeful. Here's why I'm hopeful. Because the guys he's putting in place, the men and women he's putting in place, have been very vocal about the vaccines, about the state of the military, about the role of the FBI in January 6th, about the role of DOJ in the January 6th, as well as in the impeachment trials and the Russiagate. And then there's Obama. I want to remind everybody that Mike Flynn called out Obama. So why do you think he did that? I have a memory like an elephant. Called him Barry. Sure sounds like Joe Biden tossed Obama under the bus to make a deal. And it sounds like Mike Flynn's going to be a part of that too. And notice he hasn't announced Mike Flynn. He hasn't announced Kash Patel. He hasn't even announced that Bannon's coming back. I don't think Bannon's coming back, but the truth of the matter is, doesn't matter. There's something. He's put something in place. And notice how he's very strategic in who he's announcing first. Like, everybody's all up in arms about Marco Rubio. Do you know the best part about putting Marco Rubio at state? It's very simple. He's off the floor. He can't vote against or talk any more shit. He's got to go do his job at State Department and deal with all those retards. And they are retarded. State Department is the biggest goat rope circus on the planet. Talk about Department of Inefficiency Department. It's State Department. My God. They are a soup sandwich of inefficiency and stupidity wrapped with complete ignorance. Like, case in point, the ambassador to the Netherlands, when I was a lieutenant, did a Texas barbecue for a bunch of Europeans. Completely misunderstood the entire culture. That's the State Department in a nutshell. Now let's talk about John Ratcliffe at the CIA. So there's a lot of people saying Ratcliffe is a swamp creature. Ratcliffe is a Zionist. You know what? Here's the Ratcliffe that I watched. In the last administration as the DNI, he kept the intelligence agencies focused on the enemy. He kept it focused on North Korea, on Iran. And remember, we took out Soleimani on his watch. So he knows the Iranians. He knows which elements are here. And don't you want a guy in charge of the CIA that truly understands how the intelligence apparatus should work after doing it for 4 years? I do. And you put Tulsi Gabbard as the DNI. She gets a crash course in intelligence. She gets a crash course in running an agency. And that's, then what do you do with her? You put her in charge of the CIA. It's a brilliant move if you think about it. Because the Clintons went after her. Pelosi went after her. Feinstein went after her. Everybody pile-drived her. And I know there's a lot of guys out there who are like, I'd like to pile drive her. I could already hear you sick, twisted bastards out there saying that. But the truth of the matter is, she's in the right spot. And DNI doesn't really have a lot of authority to make things happen like CIA. And he hasn't announced the Dernza either. So, and it's funny, as I saw a bunch of people put my name in front of Christy Noem yesterday saying this guy should run CISA. And I know a couple other guys in the system have put my name up to run CISA too. I don't think that's going to go anywhere because, you know, I've said things like the renter in the White House doesn't matter. Trump's not what you think he is. I don't trust these guys, et cetera, et cetera. So they're not going to put a loose cannon like me in charge of CISA. Because the first thing I would do is go into Congress and say, okay, here's the deal. I'm going to exercise the Patriot Act, and I'm going to go seize all the voting machines from every state. I'm going to do a forensic audit on every single one of those voting machines. I'm going to tell you exactly who connected to them and when. And then I'm going to go do a forensic audit on all the code that was pushed into those machines just prior to the election, and we'll see what programmatic failures are there. And then I'm going to tie all those events to somebody actually in front of the machine, and I'm going to recommend them to the new FBI for prosecution. And oh, by the way, under the Patriot Act, I'm going to seize all of the servers that were used from every state that's questionable, and I'm going to examine every single email server and follow the threads to figure out exactly where those decisions were made and by who. And oh, by the way, once I get through with that, then I'm going to have state officials arrested as well. And I will have all the evidence stacked up in a neat bundle for the FBI to go prosecute them and for DOJ to prosecute them. And I will do it in short order. And then I'm going to shut down every single overseas CISA office to include any overseas office that is in a, let's just say, a dark site or in support of a dark site. And it'll bring their operations back to the United States where it should be. I will co-locate with the regional certs as well as with NSA to support their operations, but I'm not going to establish separate office. Separate offices means separate missions, which means behind the cover of darkness. Nope. CISA needs to operate transparently. People need to understand what their mission is, what they were set up to do, and they need to do their mission. And that's protect federal networks. That's exactly what their mission is. Not gun control. It's not election. It's protecting networks. That's a cyber defense unit. That's what that is. So I can tell you exactly what I would do. So the good Colonel Johnson was saying, I'm going to post a couple of links here because he posted a couple of links. I guess this is where you can nominate people to serve on the cabinet. I'll post those in the chat and in the comments. There, I just posted them in the chat. And now I'll post them in the comment section here. Yeah, so this is basically you submit people to serve in the cabinet. Doug McGregor's already out there, which, you know, I mixed emotions about Doug not being the SecDef, but I understand. I think I understand where Trump's going with this. Because think about it. I don't think that was ever proven that Gabbard was on the WEF. She was one of the young leaders. I don't think that's true. I think that was a another one of those Q-tard posts that wasn't verified, like all the other smack-tard stuff they post. Oh, and somebody sent me this Judy Boynton BS where she's posting these videos on Ben Fulford's channel on Rumble. Like, you need to watch this, sir. This is really, really, really important. It's a bunch of nonsense. And then like 95,000 people watch it. Like, okay. You guys enjoy stirring that Kool-Aid with your arm. Man. But here, look. Don't worry about their backgrounds right now. Worry about what they do. Because look, they still have to get confirmed for all these positions, especially for SecDef. So first they have to get confirmed, then they have to take office, then they have to pick their staff. They still have to go pick their staff to figure out how to go through the Pentagon and gut that place, or how to go through DNI and gut that place. Look, I know a lot of good guys are still in the system. They're still working in the system. So there are patriots in the system that are willing to help. It's just a matter of, are they going to get to the office and are they going to take the reins? That's really the question of the day. And people should stop worrying about this. Well, WEF, are they not WEF? You know, Alex Craner said this in the interview with me and Tom Luongo on Coffee and a Mic. And if you haven't watched it, I suggest you do. Because he makes a very salient point. We have to be optimistic. We have to visualize what we want this administration to look like. We have to visualize what we want these people to do. I think you've heard me say that before. Why do I say that? Because we're in the pregame. Before we actually play the game, we should be visualizing what victory looks like. We should be visualizing what military tribunals are going to look like. And we should be visualizing how this is all going to take place. Because remember, the slippery slope in all of this is that we become the police state that we've been fighting against for the last 6 years. And we have to really take a step back and let things play out. But this is what I'm doing right now. I'm visualizing what it looks like to have worldwide televised military tribunals that walk through all the crimes of the Clintons, the Bushes, the Obamas, the Bidens, the Pelosis, the McConnells, the Feinsteins, Lauren Jobs, and the list goes on and on and on, including Bill Gates. Military tribunals, and they're held to account for crimes against humanity. That in and of itself is enough to put all of them behind bars or secure their executions. Without a doubt. So that's what I'm focusing on, is what that looks like for the world. To see all of these terrorists, for lack of a better word. And I want to see Trump declare the Soros family a terrorist organization. I want to see him declare every single NGO that supported all of the IMO movement of illegals into this country. I want them all designated as terrorist organizations. And then I want every Soros NGO and every affiliated company with the Gates Foundation and the Clinton Foundation designated as a terrorist organization. And then we will see how much public support they have. In addition to that, I want to see this new Congress with supposedly a majority in the House and in the Senate. I want to see them repeal the Patriot Act. I want to see them repeal the 1989 Vaccine Injury Act. I want to see them repeal Graham Mundy. I want to see them repeal all of the legislation of the Green New Agenda, and I want to see them get back to where they have one-page laws that are put on the books in plain English. That is what I'm visualizing for the next 4 years. And then for the next 8 years, I'm visualizing a prosperous country and a prosperous planet where there is no more war. Now, whether that comes to fruition or not, who cares? The point is, that's what I'm visualizing. I'm looking ahead. And I'm being optimistic about it because you never know what's been going on in the background. You don't know what dope deals have been made, what backroom handshakes. You don't even know what the directive is, because clearly there was a deal made for Trump to win, or there was some kind of coercion going on in the background, because all of the players literally overnight capitulated and their language was conciliatory. So you're telling me that these people just gave up after 4 years of trying to consolidate power? Or is this just a change of the guard? I don't know. I honestly don't know. It looks like it's just a change of the guard. And I'll tell you, do I trust Vivek? No. I don't trust a guy who bought a pharmaceutical company, bought a drug that couldn't get certified, certified the drug, the stock tank, and he changed the name of the company. No, I don't trust a guy like that. I don't trust a guy from South Africa that has weaseled his way into companies and is a part of the tech mafia, the very same tech mafia that has labeled American citizens as domestic terrorists and censored people for the last 8 to 10 years. No, I don't like that guy either. But does that mean I'm not going to give them the benefit of the doubt to see what they do? I'm going to see what they do. I think it's going to be just another bureaucratic organization. Because the thing you don't hear anybody talking about is the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau and the IRS. They're talking about doing away with the IRS. If they do that, that's good for everybody. That's literally good for the entire country. Because what it does in one fell swoop, it eliminates all of the burden of taxation, with the exception of state sales tax and state taxes, which will be the next thing to go. And it'll be replaced by tariffs, and it'll be replaced by, you know, prices for goods that will be higher than what we are normally used to. But I don't think people will care if it, you know, takes two or three paychecks to buy things, especially, you know, big ticket items, if it means that the production moves back here. Especially if you're buying appliances and you're buying, let's just say, alternative energy sources to operate out of your house. I don't think people will mind that if it's made here in the U.S. by American workers. And that is the ultimate goal of disbanding the IRS in the first place. You get rid of the police state, you get rid of all the apparatus that the government uses to control you, and at the same time you're doing that, you're limiting the amount of money the federal government has, and you're returning a lot of power to the states. But does that mean that we don't go into California, Oregon, Washington, even into, you know, Idaho, Ohio, and other states to clean up? Absolutely, it does. We still have to go clean up the voting systems. We still have to go clean up the state apparatus, and we still have to go clean up all the toxicity in all those states. So there's 100 different ways this can go. The point is, we have to visualize which way we want it to go. There was, you know, back in 2017, 2018, when the Q stuff started, there was this whole move. This guy, I love telling this story. There's this guy named Cobra. Supposedly, he's from Pleiades, and he's an alien. And his job, his whole job, is to get us ready for the big event, whatever the hell that event is. And part of the big event is that the Earth's going to be put right on its axis. The you know, motherships are going to come down. They're going to clean the atmosphere. During that whole UFO disclosure, Corey Good, David Wilcock, Hamama, and this cover stuff, there was one thing that came out of all of that, and that was that there was a group of people that started mass meditation. And what's funny about the mass meditation is, when you start digging under the covers of it, this is like the numerology astrology thing, right? Everywhere outside the US, I should say everywhere outside the Christian Western world, the rest of the world understands astrology and numerology. They understand meditation and mass meditation. And that for centuries they've been preaching meditation and quieting your mind, and that mass meditation really does produce an effect in a large area. I don't know if it was a study done or if it was a group of people that were studying it that figured out that when mass meditation occurs, crime rates drop in the areas where mass meditation is occurring. And my point of saying all that is that by us visualizing which way we want this to go, we are literally meditating in the direction we want the country and the world to go. And think about that. If that's all you have to do to get the ship moving in the right direction and give it the right rudder orders, don't you think that's worth doing 20 or 30 or 40 minutes of your day? Benny, just meditate on what you want the world to look like in the next 4 years. That sure beats the hell out of World War, doesn't it? And then the other thing that most people just tend to forget about is that spirit is here helping too. You know, this is as much of a biblical time in our history as it is an historical time. And we can't forget that either. Praying's a good part of that too. And why shouldn't we continue to pray? Because at the end of the day, don't we want, you know, God to step in and set things right? I do. I would love for that to happen. I would absolutely love to see something divine happen that shows the world that God's hand is here, moving things in the right direction. Not that Trump's a Messiah, not that Trump was chosen by God, but that God's always been here, but he's using multiple people across the planet to move the ship in the right direction. Because at the end of the day, the thing that's going to help all of us and help the world is that we raise our consciousness and we get away from these sedentary, mind-numbing activities, like watching pro sports all day. And we do things in a more meaningful and a more, let's just say, disciplined way. What if that is the secret sauce to get the world moving in the right direction? Now, I'm not talking about work. I'm talking about discipline. I'm talking about doing things methodically that help other people, that help the planet, that help the entire culture move forward. For years and years and years, we've been taught that that's war. What if that's not the way? What if the way forward is through peaceful and diplomatic relationships, through market competition, through scientific competition, through cultural competitions? What if that's the way forward? I'm trying to look at this from a lot of different angles because, like I said, I was told 2 years ago that Trump had already picked his cabinet. He already knew who he was going to put in place in all these positions. And I believe him because it started to bear out. So the thing I would hope for this nation and the thing I want to see for this nation is I want to see the American people free of taxation, free of the burden of 30-year mortgages to pay for homes. I want to see innovation come back to this country. I want to see manufacturing come back to this country. I want to see us go back into space and explore space. I want us to figure out ways to grow and to keep our food chain clean and free of chemicals. I want to see our entire food chain cleaned up to the point where we don't have toxic sources of chemicals anywhere near our food chain. And that we use the biomass that we create from all the, the food and things we throw away to help continue to perpetuate not just growing food, but cultivating food. That's the stuff I want to see. Now, where do I participate? I don't know. I have no idea where I'll participate. But I'm looking down the road thinking everything that's on the shelf that's in a box has probably got chemicals in it. The only thing that doesn't is stuff sold at a farmer's market. Even then, you're questioning that. But all the organic produce, all the organic stamped, or my favorite is keto, all that stuff has artificial sweeteners in it. If artificial sweeteners were good for us, they would occur naturally in our environment. If chemicals were good for us, they would occur naturally in our environment. You know, I was told a couple of weeks ago, I did not know this, that McDonald's used tallow to cook all their fries until the late 80s, and then they switched to oil. I mean, talk about using every part of an animal. Tallow is, it's just basically, it's cow fat. And it's amazing how most of the things that come off of an animal are not toxic for you. They're healthy for you. We've been told that, fatty acids are bad and fat's bad. You need to have artificial this and artificial that. Milk is great for you. Well, is milk really good for you? Well, not if it's full of hormones, not if it's full of, you know, mRNA vaccines, it's not good for you. But the point is we need to get back to some of the traditional ways of not only farming, but traditional ways of growing cattle and livestock, and get away from all the commercial and non-scientific AMA-driven, FDA-driven protocols that have been used to make Americans sick. And I could tell you that he hasn't announced RFK yet, so he hasn't announced Health and Human Services. He hasn't announced the FDA. He hasn't announced who is going to be running Treasury. So there's still a lot of picks to come. So I would say, you know, let's just see where it goes. And let's see who's on deck next. I think he's doing it strategically. I think he's already had the conversations. I think he's just got a cadence for which he's going to release things. And I think what he's doing is he's sending a message to the folks that are the career bureaucrats, say, hey, we're coming for you. These people I'm putting in place are going to do things. They're not going to get bogged down by a bunch of federal rules. I'm going to sign the executive orders to give them the not only the delegation to do what they need to do, but the authority to do what they need to do. And I think you will see a drastic shift in the federal government once that starts to happen. Because what's the one thing that career bureaucrats are most afraid of? Having to do work. Because most of them don't do anything. Most of them are useless. They want to hit their federal retirement. They want to get their federal health care, their federal retirement for the rest of their lives, and they don't want to work for it. And the federal government is massive. So they're going to have to cut entire departments down to size, if not eliminate them. And you can already see the left melting down about the Department of Education. Oh, that's a terrible idea. Okay. Have any of you seen any of the math that they're feeding kids right now and teaching to kids? I can't do it. I have no idea what they're trying to teach kids when it comes to math. If we disband the Department of Education and we drive things from a state level, I guarantee you, and people have more options to homeschool, private school, et cetera, then I guarantee you that education will change. And the thing that I want to see is I want to see defunding of every university that has pushed DEI, Confucius University, any kind of communist ideology, any trans,
or any gay and lesbian agenda. I want them all defunded. Especially the universities that canceled people because they had differing opinions. And I want to see every one of those liberal smack-tard professors that say stupid things like microaggression, speech is violence. I want to see all of them unemployed. I want to see them scrubbing garbage cans. Actually, I want to televise it and call it douche TV. Watch all the douchebags reintegrate into society as somebody's bitch. That's what I want to see. But all of these monolithic organizations need to go away. And I've reserved the American Medical Association and the Rockefeller Foundations and the Ford Trust for last. Because all of these organizations, to include the Atlantic Council, the Council of Foreign Relations, all of them need to be declared terrorist organizations, especially the AMA and the American Bar Association. Because the American Bar Association used lawfare and took away people's licenses for questioning the election. As far as I'm concerned, those organizations do not need to exist. If they become so powerful that they can dictate what treatment people get when they're sick and take it out of the hands of doctors, then they do not get to exist. And the last thing, I would pass a law that would prohibit any insurance company from dictating which treatments patients will get and put that squarely back in the hands of a doctor and make patient advocacy the first and foremost part of a patient's Bill of Rights. And I would sign a patient's Bill of Rights in the first 6 months that would effectively neuter insurance companies, the American Medical Association, the pharmaceuticals, and everyone else. Because if you go look at the curriculum that doctors go through, they essentially are taught the physician's desk reference, the PDR. That's what they're essentially taught. There is zero holistic medicine taught by the AMA or by any of the big pharma companies. Why? And that's the other thing I would do. I would prohibit pharmaceutical companies from owning supplements, from owning anything related to cattle, and promoting anything related to cattle. I would get them out of the protein industry once and for all, and I would get them out of the supplement industry. I would make them divest all of it. And then the last thing I would put in place, and I hope you're listening, Mr. President, because this one is very important. There needs to be a ban on foreign investment in the United States for the next 25 years so that no foreign company can invest in a U.S. company, load it with debt, and then pay off their executives, and then leave the country and leave that company to wither and die. That's exactly what Spiegel Group did to Eddie Bauer, an American icon. They came in, they bought the company, they loaded it with debt, they paid off all their executives, and they left. I want all of that to stop. I want the Chinese to stop buying farmland. In fact, I want every Chinese asset in this country nationalized and repatriated by Americans and operated by Americans. Now, if you want to make a dope deal with the Chinese to where they get some of their profits back, I'm totally okay with that. But they don't own food production. They don't own mineral rights. They don't even own a building in this country. Not one single family home, not one apartment building, nothing. They own nothing. If a Chinese company wants to operate here, they have to register as a foreign entity, and they have to operate as a foreign entity, and they have to pay tariffs as a foreign entity. And then we'll see how the Chinese do dealing with some of the tariffs that they put on us. That's how this needs to go.
And that's the stuff I'm visualizing. I'm not visualizing four more years of status quo. I'm not visualizing a civil war. Now, does that mean the worst thing couldn't happen? No, I'm still going to be prepared for it. I'm still going to operate at 80% readiness 100% of the time. But it doesn't mean I'm not going to look forward and start to visualize what I want this to look like. That would be dumb. Especially especially if things are going to go the way I think they're going to go. I think it's very interesting that Biden was all smiles today when Trump was in the White House. That really does say that Biden made a deal and threw Obama under the bus. And I hope he did. I hope John Brennan, Mike Hayden, Clapper, all the rest of them, David Axelrod, I hope they all go to prison. I hope it's a public trial. I hope it's publicized. I hope it's shown on national and world TV. I want everybody in the world to see what Obama's really done and who really financed him and who really put him into power. And I want everybody associated with that locked up, if not executed for treason. Because he's committed treason on a level that is unprecedented, even for Benedict Arnold. And he had people helping him. Brennan was his handler. Clapper and Hayden did their dirty work on both NSA and the CIA. So guess what? Everybody that facilitated, enabled, and made him happen, they all need to go to prison. They all need a public trial, a very public trial. And I'm hopeful that that'll happen, especially under Getz, because Matt Getz hates Obama, hates him. Mike Flynn hates Obama. So guess what? I think Barry's going to be in for a rough ride, and I hope so. But see, I don't want Barry executed. I want Barry to be on public display like Saddam Hussein. I want him to live the rest of his life in underwear because they're so worried about him committing suicide. I want him that frantic. I want the rest of them to be in their underwear. And I want them to be in a cell with just a blanket that they can't tie into a noose and hang themselves with. I want them to be in a quiet space for the rest of their life so the noise drives them crazy. Or, sorry, the silence drives them crazy. That's what I want to see. And I want to see it happen in the next year. And then I want to see the Clintons stand trial for all the people they've had killed. And then all of the stuff that the Clinton Foundation's been doing in both Haiti and in Burma, Thailand. Oh, I want all of that to come out. And I want it to come out in great detail, exactly what Billy Boy did on the plane with Epstein. What he did in the properties in New Mexico and what he did in New York and how often and who he did it with. And Virginia Guthrie has all that information. And she's got the keys to the elite. I hope that somebody takes all that plutonium and sprinkles it around the elite so they all die of a horrible cancer. Because there's so much toxicity there, that's going to be the thing of legends if that finally comes out. Which I think, if we're on course for that to happen, which I believe we are, I think you're going to see a whole different planet when this all comes out. At least I'm hopeful you will. Because the players that Trump's putting in are young players. I think he's doing that so that he can continue the party after he departs. And more importantly, you're handing over the reins to the next generation, which is needed to have been. We've needed to do this transition for the past 20 years, but all these career politicians and mob bosses have stayed in place. And that's why we haven't been able to transition power effectively to the younger generation. I would like to see some of these younger players in the game now.
I want to see them inspire younger generations to go into leadership positions throughout our local, our city, state, and local governments and start to make change. Because then I think you will see a different country. And I'm really hopeful that if we fix the education system, we start teaching real civics, real math, real science, and we disclose some of the technology that's out there, we will have a population of 20-somethings and 30-somethings that are, they're going to be go-getters. And that's what we want. And I think we can achieve that in the next 5 to 8 years. I hope we can. And I hope that Trump is legit. And I hope that what he's doing is legit. And I hope these people really did capitulate. And now they're just going to face justice. And I also told the powers that be that if you want me to go hunt down these people, if they're hiding, just give me a battalion of whoas and I will go knock that out. I will accomplish that mission. I will roll up anybody that needs to be rolled up. So anyway. But who knows? Maybe I'll get the call from Christine Ohm to do the CISA role. I know I'm qualified to do it, that's for sure. But, you know, can they handle a guy like me that's not a politician, that doesn't care what the press thinks? I think they're too risk averse for that. We'll see. I teed it up with my kids and neither one of them was a fan. So part of it is they know what comes with this administration and what blowback's going to happen in all the blue states. They don't want me to be a part of that. I understand where they're coming from. But does it mean it won't happen? Who knows? But I will say this, that, and by the way, those two links that I posted, that is supposedly where you can nominate people to serve in the administration. I think that's what it's for. I'm not quite sure. The good Colonel Johnson sent that to me, so I'm trying to figure out what it really means. But there's a lot of names in here. Yeah. Even Keschel's in here. What's Keschel in here for? That's weird. Yeah. Seth Keschel. It's basically their resume. Huh. So somebody nominated him to go to Department of Defense, the Air Force, the Army, Navy, the Interior. Huh. Thoughts? Competent? Yes. Is honest? Yes. Is respectful? Yes. Has integrity? Bleeds integrity. Has courage? Has a proven record? Absolutely. Some of the best intelligence analysis I have seen in my entire career is done by the good Captain Keschel. He has my vote, that's for sure. So yeah, that's what it's for, is you are literally making America healthy again. And that's what that's for. And it's, you nominate people. There are a lot of names out here. David Hogg out here. That's awesome. I wonder what they voted him for. Department of Education. Now that's it. That's epic. I'm sure there's some good trolls out here too. Anyway, so that's what those are for. They're posted in the comment section and in the chat. But yeah, so we'll see if that actually goes anywhere and lands anywhere. But cool idea. So. Last thing I want to talk about, because we're coming up on an hour. And by the way, I was late because I was in a meeting that ran long. So actually was supposed to go another hour, so I bailed out early. No matter what happens here, and no matter who goes into the cabinet, what really matters moving forward for all of us, number one, stay awake. Stay dialed into what's going on, both locally, at the state level, and nationally. Pay attention. Number two, stay ready. Stay vigilant. Because remember, we still have millions of illegal aliens in this country that we have to deal with in one way, shape, or form. So be ready for anything on that front. And then finally, be ready for something economically. Everybody is financially and emotionally stressed out. Everybody. Everybody's stretched to the limit financially. I know I am. And I know I'm not the only one. And the thing to remember is, no matter what happens, America's finally figured out that they're not alone. And I think America's figured out who we are. And that's a good thing. Because I kept saying for months, remember who we are. Remember what we are. Remember what we're about. Remember what we're supposed to represent to the rest of the world. Because now is a time where we show it. And it won't be abroad. It'll be here on our soil where we show it to one another. And we show the world, just like we should be doing with those folks down in North Carolina. We should be sending them everything spare that we possibly can. And we should be showing them the maximum amount of empathy and compassion, as well as giving them a hand up. That's who we are. That's what we're about. We do things for moral reasons. We do things because it's the right thing to do for the country and for the world. And we stand on the precipice of an opportunity to redefine the future, to redefine what this great experiment was all about 200 years ago. But most importantly, we stand on the opportunity to do that peacefully and legally. And does it mean the system can be reformed? No. We are going to have to purposely demolish large portions of the institutions that we've come to know, and we're going to have to rebuild them from the ground up. And we may have to do that to every institution in our society. But if we can do that and maintain peace while we're doing it, that's a win. Because the funny thing that's going to happen during this process, and Kash Patel talks about this in his interview with Sean Ryan. He talks about, if you disclose all the secrets and the abuse of the classification system over the last 80 years, there will be a very compelling story for Americans to go look at and redefine our history in terms of what was real and what was made up. And it won't be somebody reading it to you. You'll have the opportunity to go deep dive into those documents, emails, and threads and figure out exactly what decisions were made, when, by who, and why. That will redefine history. And you will see large portions of the population that will realize that they've been lied to about everything. Certain parts of the population may never see it. The cognitive dissonance might be just too strong. But for the rest of the population, you're going to see them come together in ways you've probably never seen before. And that's my hope for this country and for the rest of the planet. I hope the planet sees true disclosure, where they see all the malfeasance that's been propagated by all of these career politicians, all of these oligarchs, all of these old rich aristocracy and the old rich families. See all the collusion and all of the systems that were put in place to propagate and to prop up their bloodlines and hold everybody else down. I want that disclosure to come out around the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and that whole group of malcontents. Because I think when it does, then the old guard will have to capitulate and they will have to give up power. And then we'll start to see some things outside of the quote unquote conspiracy theory world that people probably never even thought of. But the biggest thing I'm hopeful for, and the biggest thing that I'm waiting to see,
is I want to see a concerted effort to roll up all the pedophiles. I want to see a concerted effort to shut down the human trafficking, the human slavery, the child trafficking, the child slavery, and the crimes against children. That's what I want to see come out of this. And if the world really did speak, if the Americans really did come together, all of that should be possible. And it should be a call to arms for everybody if we're allowed to go roll up all of these human trafficking rings. And I'll tell you why I think this. Because Trump has been, he's 5 days past the election. No, he's 7 days past the election. Right? 7 days. And in 7 days, all the caravans have evaporated in Mexico. Got China, Russia, and most of the Arab factions talking about peace now. And most importantly, you have the financial sector talking about bringing not only investment back, but bringing industry back to the U.S. That is monumental. That is, this is why I was so off balance last Thursday, because the narratives changed literally overnight. It's almost as if God stepped in and said, click, you don't get any more power to that. We're shutting that off for good. Because what have you heard over the last 7 days? Crickets. Crickets. The mainstream media has said literally nothing. And it's not because they're in shock. It's because someone told them to stand down. That in and of itself is what gives me the most hope. But, you know, it could all be a ruse. You still have to use discernment. You still have to use critical thinking. You still have to pay attention. You still have to watch what they do. And you still have to do the deep dive. So stay prepared. Stay optimistic. And be ready for anything. But let's see where this goes. Don't forget meditation. Visualize what you want this to look like. And on a different note, I was talking to some of the guys about doing a roundtable. We'll do a roundtable in a couple of weeks. I'm going to probably be back Friday, depending on how the situation develops and how things are going. I'm going to try and do three of these a week. Not sure what time Friday. I'm going to try and do three of these a week. I am going to be doing an interview for what magazine is it? Hang on. What magazine is it? It is Interface Magazine. I'll be doing an interview for them on the 21st, the 22nd. Reached out to Scott Ritter to do an interview with Scott Ritter. We'll see if he actually gets back to me. Other than that, I'm just planning on doing sit reps and seeing how the situation develops and giving everybody some downtime, but more importantly, focusing on things that are outside of the day-to-day narratives and the day-to-day information war. So if you do anything over the next week or two while things are quiet, take some time to reflect. Look at how we got here, look at where you want this country to go, and start thinking about how you can add to society, what you can do now. But you have to be a part of it. You can't opt out anymore, folks. We have a moral and a spiritual obligation to help move this forward. That's your challenge for the next week. I'll be back Friday. God bless everyone. One team, one fight.